We've been talking about walking in the ways of the Lord, and tonight is part number 9. And the last 2 messages, we've been talking about what a person that is walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, being spiritually minded, what that person is like. We've been going through several things that he does, and that this person, how he positions himself. And I wasn't going to, but I think real quickly I'll just read how far we are so far with them, and then we'll take off from today. I won't talk about them unless the Holy Spirit says something. But we started this back in part 6. Made a comment there. A person walking in the... I'm not going to spend any time on these. I'm just going to go through them. If somebody wants these, they let me know. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, does not worry or fret or fear. They do not focus on the problems, but on the answer to the problems. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, has their focus on God's Word. God's living Word is abiding in their hearts. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, is always prepared and ready, unmoving, no matter what happens. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, has set their love upon the Father God. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, is spiritually minded, and God's Word ruled. God and His living Word is first place in this person's life. They are not ruled by their senses, emotions, or feelings. And these are the ones we talked about last week now. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or being spiritually minded, is a person who has put themselves in a place to know His ways and what our ways are supposed to be. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or being spiritually minded, has put themselves in a place where they can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, who lives in each of us. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or being spiritually minded, has put themselves in a place where they can be led by the Holy Spirit in every area of their lives. And we talked about God has His eye on our path and that He will teach us how to choose. Psalm 32, 7 and 8. And then a person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, who is spiritually minded, has positioned themselves, unlocking the blessing and protection of God, which He so deeply desires to provide for His people. We need to get in our heart and mind and realize that God wants to protect us. He deeply wants to give us protection and blessing. It's His desire. And we block Him so many times in our life without even realizing we're blocking Him. But when we walk in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart that's set in His ways, being consistent, that opens the door to Him to be able to protect us. And we can walk through this life spiritually minded because of what He's done, knowing that His angels are watching over us. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or being spiritually minded, has put themselves in a place of protection where the angels can protect and work in us. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or being spiritually minded, has put themselves in a place where they are victorious over the world. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or who is spiritually minded, will be God and others-centered, not self-centered. And we mentioned that all sin, no matter what it is self-centered. All love is others-centered. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or who is spiritually minded, is a person who walks the love walk no matter what the circumstances are. And then we studied the love walk, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, Amplified Classic. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or who is spiritually minded, will be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those are the fruit of His presence, the Amplified says. The fruit of His presence. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is present. Those fruits are there because He's there. He's in us. So we don't have to worry about them being present. They're there.
Amen.
What we have to do is make decisions to walk in them, to call them up, to activate them, to exercise them in our daily life. And we'll get to that again later on when we're talking, when we're listing what those, walking through them one at a time. So that's what we've covered so far in the last three lessons. And it gives a good picture of what a person walking in the ways of the Lord, what his life will be like. Now, he'll have to make corrections as he goes through his life because things come our way that we're not ready for. Different things happen in our daily life where we may fall short on those ways. But if we're consistently walking in those, making an effort to walk in those, asking the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us in them, He will. And He'll point out where we're falling short, and we can correct ourselves. And thank God for 1 John 1:9.
Amen.
We can come to Him and confess where we're short and falling short, and He'll strengthen us. That's part of His job, is to be our comforter, our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener, and our standby, and our teacher. That's what His job is, and God placed Him in us. So really, we really are very well equipped. We're very well equipped. We just need to know how to walk in it, praise God. So that's last week. So this week we're going to take off in something similar and continue in that vein of thought, looking at this person that has an established heart. In part 6 and 7, we discussed in detail Psalm 23 and Psalm 91, and we mentioned that those two psalms are pictures of a person that has an established heart. They're pictures of a person walking in the ways of the Lord and what those benefits are. Right up to the place in Psalm 91, 14 and 16, where God Himself speaks and says, "Because you have set your love on Me, therefore I will deliver you." And a whole bunch of promises, including a long life until you're satisfied. There's a bunch of promises that's in Psalm 91 and Psalm 23. We discussed those in detail in part 6 and 7. There's another one that is very important to go through, which we may or may not go through it. We'll just have to see. We won't tonight. It's Psalm 37. It's a very long psalm, but it is point by point what a person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, being spiritually minded, what he's like. And we need to remember that these psalms are pre-cross. So these things were available before the cross if a person wanted to walk in them. They're even more available to us post-cross. They're even more available to us. And we should be, it should be way easier for us to walk in them because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. They did not. They had the Holy Spirit upon if you were a king or a prophet. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit within. And they had to repent every year. They could come and get everything washed away. But they had sacrifices they had to make. The priests had to do certain things. I mean, can you imagine for those thousands of years how much blood was shed with bulls and goats and heifers and pigeons? And can you imagine the blood that was shed? And it didn't even scratch the surface where what Jesus did. I mean, it's mind-boggling when you realize that when you read Exodus and go through what they did, Genesis and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, what they actually did, how it was set up. Aaron, they had a morning sacrifice, they had an evening sacrifice. They were this blood continuously. You know, and I can't fathom that. But yet it didn't take care of their sins. It just covered them for a short time. But here's Jesus. He hung on the cross once for all.
Hallelujah.
His blood once for all. All of those sacrifices were types and kinds of Jesus, of what he was going to do. But all of that was necessary so that Jesus could come. Man had to be positioned. Things had to happen so that Jesus could come and be that sacrifice for us. So now, when we go to communion, we don't cut a lamb or cut up a bull or anything. We pour a little grape juice in a cup and hold a wafer. And those two are more powerful than all of those that went before the cross. That boggles my mind when I hold that cup and that wafer, realizing what is involved in those two elements. It just blows my mind. That's what it means when you said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Praise God. And that's not our message today, but Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 are pictures. If we will look at them, in Psalm 37, are pictures of what it means to walk in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart and being spiritually minded. Today we're going to continue in that vein, looking at a couple more scriptures. We will continue tonight looking at some scriptures which picture the person who is walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart or being spiritually minded. We're going to continue in that. Or we could say it this way, that we'll be looking at the person who is spiritually minded with an established heart versus the person who does not have an established heart or who is carnally minded. These scriptures that we'll be using today show both. We're going to start in Psalm 112. It's one of my favorites, and it's so full. It talks about the established heart specifically. What we're doing tonight was not in my notes. This has been with me all week, so these particular scriptures have been with me all week. So I know that I'm supposed to teach on them tonight, although they were not in my original notes. They are now. Okay, Psalm 112, starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. This is New King James. But where it says, fears the Lord in the New King James, the Amplified Classic, as I always mention, defines that word fear, and it's reveres and worships. It says fears, and then it brackets reveres and worships, because that's what that fear means. Now, if you read it this way, and to give you an example, using our common definition of fear, we would read it this way. Praise the Lord, blessed is the man who is afraid of the Lord. That don't even come, no. Who delights greatly in his commandments. Now, is this guy that's afraid of God, is he going to delight in the commandments? Now, he may do the commandments, because there's a guy standing there with a whip or something, and he's forced to do it, but is he going to delight in them? No. These other gods of stones and wood and all of that, they may do what some clown said that God was saying. They may do that. But did they do it with joy and delight? No. But see, our God wants us to come with worship, to come with reverence. And why? Because if we're afraid of him, we're not going to come to him. Because we're people of choice. And because if we're afraid of him, he can't do anything for us. Who is fear? Satan is fear. He's the father of fear. So when you read that, please keep that in your heart and mind. Look at the context of what's being said. Because you can tell there are some places where it talks about the word fear used as fear. but not towards God. Anytime you see the word fear towards God, it always means reverence, unless you're coming against Him. If you're coming against Him, you better be afraid of Him and go the other way. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. Blessed is the person who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. And I've got to ask myself, as a person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, desiring an established heart, being spiritually minded, I got to ask myself, do I delight in His commandments? Do I delight in them? We need to ask ourselves that. Do I delight in the commandments or in the Word of God? Do I delight in what God is bringing to me? Do I? Delight means exuberance. Means it brings me joy. It brings me happiness when I see the commandments of God. And what is the commandment? It's love. Everything else flows from that. Matter of fact, the Word says that. The walking in love fulfills all of the commandments and all of the prophets. It fulfills all of them. Verse 2, His descendants, this person who's praising the Lord, this person who reveres and worships the Lord, who delights in the commandments or delights in the Word, His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. If we do what verse 1 says, delighting in the Word, worshiping in awe and reverence to our Father, that affects our children. It doesn't say just children there either. It says descendants. For how long? 1,000 generations or more.
What if you don't have any?
Yeah. You have descendants spiritually. You have descendants where you put your, or you put your life into someone. You are a spiritual parent in some ways. But we have descendants. You know, and I don't know who prayed for me, but somebody did. They loved me. Somebody did. Even though they didn't know me, I may not have even been around yet. But they did. So we have spiritual descendants as well as, I'm glad you brought that up, Kathy, because we do have spiritual descendants when we put our life into somebody else too. Hallelujah.
Well, and that's, to that point is, you know, I have my own biological children, but the number of people that call me dad,
yes,
just from having taught them, loved them.
Yes.
Is greater than the physical number of children I have.
Amen.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Amen. And
new ones all the time.
Yeah, right now you're being honored by being called Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, that's so awesome because you're putting your life into someone. You know, so they're spiritual children. It's awesome that God looks at it that way. Praise God. So, His descendants will be mighty on the earth. You know, I can lay claim to this for my children. I can lay claim to this. I can, and I do. I can lay claim to this. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Now, what's that mean? It means the generation of my descendants, including my own, will be blessed. Now, blessed means empowered to prosper in every area of life. Nothing broken, nothing missing. That's what that means. I mean, praise God, to know that my descendants, my children and my children's children are going to be blessed, nothing missing, nothing lost. That's so awesome, knowing that as I take my place before my loving Father, that flows to our children. So many of us don't know that. And all we see is the problems with the children. We see the bad things. We see the things where they're going and how they're not walking with God. But that's not the whole story. See, if I know this and lay claim to it, they're going to keep running into God out there. And somewhere along the line, in a divine encounter, they will give their life to Him. They will. I may not be there, I may not even be alive anymore, but it will happen. Because God is faithful. He will not quit. He will not stop. They will have to on purpose reject him. That gives me so much confidence and so much happiness when I read that. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Now remember, we're talking about the person walking in the ways of the Lord. These are the benefits that happen to this person. Verse 3, wealth and riches will be in his house.
That's for me.
And his righteousness endures forever. Wealth and riches. Mother, you've got several translations there. Read Psalm 35, 27b.
Psalm 35?
Psalm 35, 27b. I can tell you what it says, but I'd rather you reread it.
Amen.
Because so many of us, oh boy, here comes a prosperity message.
35 what?
God wants us
27?
To be poor. Psalm 35, verse 27b.
Let's see.
Well, if I can read
Let
this.
Let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.
Yes. Now, some will say their well-being. I believe yours says that, doesn't it, Nate?
Mm-hmm.
And some say peace. Takes pleasure in their peace. I don't know where they get that at, but almost every other one that I've found will say delights, takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And I always ask myself, well, if he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, how much more his sons and daughters? But you see, we have to line up for it. We have to position ourselves for that prosperity work. Prosperity, people go to money.
This one says, all glory to the Lord who wants to see his servant prosper.
Yes. But basically, the majority of them will say prosper. And what does prosper mean? Money is really way down the list. Mm-hmm. It's involved. But prosperity is like blessed. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. It means whatever you have need of, you'll prosper there.
Well, and I saw this in Strong's, and there's many places where they use the word prosper and prosperity, but the very same word can be translated as wisdom.
Yes.
They're wise.
Again.
That's what prosperity really is being smart.
What happened to Solomon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, he didn't. God said, "What would you have me do for you?" And Solomon said, "I ask for wisdom that I can lead these people."
Yes.
And God said, "Because you ask for wisdom, I will add all the others to you."
Mm-hmm.
See, and what does the proverb say? Get wisdom, for it is the principal thing. If you got wisdom, you will prosper in everything you do. God will give you the wisdom to prosper in whatever it is. Prosper may mean, if you're in Africa, it may mean a cow.
Mm-hmm.
And or it may be anything, you know, that you have need of. Prosperity to a sick person is what? Getting well.
Yeah.
It means nothing missing, nothing broken. But this person here says wealth and riches specifically. Wealth and riches will be in your house. Well, if I have all the money in the world, but I'm going to die in a few months, what's wealth to me? Healing. It depends. You can't look at prosperity as just money. And there's whole wars spiritually been fought over that. God wants you poor. According to that, he don't. And according to that right there that she read, he don't.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want you. And if you tell a Jew, that's a real Jew,
mm-hmm.
that God wants you poor,
mm-hmm.
they consider it a curse.
Oh.
They do, because of Abraham's blessing. They believe they were Abraham's children and should be walking in the blessings of Abraham. But the Word tells us that in Galatians. That we're supposed to be walking in the blessings of Abraham. That's part of our blessing. It's part of who we are in Christ. But it doesn't mean I'm going to walk around a millionaire. Me? I really don't want to be a millionaire.
I do.
Except to bless others. Because our needs are met. You know, our needs wouldn't be any more met if I had a million than they would in what we have. Our needs would still be met, and I'd have excess. One minister said, maybe all you want is your needs met. Don't be so selfish and stingy. He said, go ahead and get blessed and put the others in the gospel. You don't have to keep it just because you got it. But that's our mentality. But I'll tell you one thing. The faster you give it away, the faster it's going to come.
Amen. Yeah.
That's the principle of God's word. And see, Jews know that. Jews know that you're not supposed to be poor. Now you've got to define poor again. Some of the poorest people that exist have a lot of money. They're destitute. Yeah. Like, I don't know, you were talking about that. Who was talking about the dream of the M&Ms?
Oh, I told you. Yeah, this lady told me that she had a dream. Her husband has passed away. But she dreamed about him. And she dreamed he had a great, she said it was a bag. It was this huge bag, bigger than a trash bag, full of M&Ms. And he was dragging this, trying to carry this huge bag. And she said, well, let's share. And he wouldn't do it. He said no. And when she woke up, she realized it wasn't her husband at all. It was the spirit of hoarding that had come into their house. And they needed to get rid of that, you know.
But
someone in their house was a hoarder.
That person, if M&M's was money, they'd be poor. Because they got money, but what are they doing with it? Nothing.
Well, this man I took care of said that he, in his young days, he was a meat buyer for a large grocery chain, and he would go to Chicago to the stockyards and places like that to put in his orders. And he said there was a man there, and he was a Jewish man who was in charge of the office there. And he said in those days they had what they called payola. Oh, and if you would pay cash, you'd get your order, you know, and priority and stuff like that. And he said this man showed him something one day. He got up and he showed him his wife, this Jewish man's wife, had sewed like an extra leg in this pair of pants on both sides. And that's where he was stuffing that money, was like a huge, enormous pocket. Oh. And he said, just watch this. He said to him when he was in his office, he said, and he pulled money, cash money, out of those pants, and the amount, by the time he was done, was like $15,000 or something he had stuffed down in his pants. Every day!
Every day.
Every day of business.
Yeah.
That's what people were paying him. You know, I mean, it was a worldwide deal. So people were coming from all over to these stockyards to put in their orders.
Oh, come on.
It's just, you know.
He couldn't believe it. He just was amazed.
We need to quit focusing on money as far as being wealthy. Mother and I are wealthy.
We are. Wealth and riches are in our house.
We say that all the time. We don't just say it, but we believe it. Because years ago, I was sitting watching TV with her, and I was just looking at her. Our chairs were side by side at that time, where
kinda
I could hold her hand.
You know?
And I'd hold her hand, and we'd just sit there and. And I wouldn't say anything sometimes, but I'd look over there at her like that, and I'd come back. And I was just talking to the Lord. I said, I am wealthy. I lack nothing. If he was to come along and say, what do you want? Somebody was to say, do I want something? Not really. My needs are met. I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I have the biggest treasure in the world sitting right next to me.
Aww.
I'm happy. And I can't think, what would it be like to have more of this or that? Yeah, well, it'd be all right. But to say that I'm lacking anything, I don't. And I'm just, that scripture there blesses me. Wealth and riches are in our house. We don't define wealth and riches by dollar signs.
Right.
And when you start doing that, you actually become pretty poor. You're poor in other areas because you focus so much on money. Nothing wrong with money. It's nice to have. And I want all I can get so that I can give it away. I love, we go to churches and all over the place, all different kinds of churches, as you guys know. And I expect, I carry a certain amount of money in my wallet. And when I go there, I expect the Lord to show me somebody to pray for, somebody who has a need. And sometimes he'll tell me in my spirit to give certain person some money. Mm-hmm. And I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I don't need to know why. Mm-hmm. But I like being able to do that, to just allow the Lord to say, give him $40. Mm-hmm. Give him whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've done that several times. And
we got to remember too, there was a time when we were pretty desperate on food stamps with the kids all home.
30 years ago.
Give us
no
stuff.
More.
And we always, or at least I did, I always dreamed of the day when I would be the one who could give.
But you see, that's wealth.
And
to
that's
us.
Where we are now. A lot of people, you know, like different ones who, you know, need a little help here and there, and they'll feel bad.
Yeah.
And they'll say they're sorry. And it's like, no, the Bible says I'm supposed to give, you know, have a dinner or something for somebody who can't pay me back.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Yeah. Well, they kind of hem and haw a little bit. They don't know if they like that. But we had some friends down in Oran, and we was always inviting them over to dinner, and they'd come once in a while, but then for a while they wouldn't even come. And when I talked to her, I said, how come you guys don't want to come anymore? She said, well, we can't have you come over to our, I mean, we got six kids. Nobody invited us anywhere. You know? But if I wanted company, I had to ask them to come to our house, and especially if they had a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. And we just wanted to bless people. Mm-hmm. We didn't expect anybody to
It was what we could. It was something that we could do.
Yeah,
at the time,
you know, and I'm not bragging. We live on our Social Security,
mm-hmm.
but we're still able to give. You know, praise God. I mean, that's wealth and riches. It's wealth and riches,
yeah,
and that's
our
what
bills are paid.
And just
our stuff's all paid
to be able to
stewardship is an important part of that.
Yeah, you know, to be able to. Just to give your time to somebody. I know Nate does that all the time.
I was going to say, I don't always have money to
give.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do.
But
sometimes
you give yourself. You guys do that.
But so often, because I've been gifted with a great many skills.
Yeah.
And then I give that away, and people are constantly, well, what do I owe you? And I'm like,
yeah.
You don't owe me nothing.
That's wealth.
You know,
that is wealth and riches, and it's great value. You know, you can't give anything more with more value away than yourself. One lady stayed with us for several, off and on for over a couple of years, off and on, and she wanted to give to this one ministry all the time, and she was really upset because she couldn't give to this one ministry, and I said, I know this ministry. I said, instead of sending them money, send them a letter telling them that you're going to spend so much time in prayer for them this week, this month, and do that. That will be of more value to them than the money itself. And it'll be more value to you because you're laying your life down for someone else. We can easily give the money, and that's great. We should. But our own self is of more value than that.
Our time.
Somebody needs to talk about these kind of things to help us. But honestly, wealth and riches are in our house. And I know they're in your houses because of the love that's there and because of the laid down life. And then then it says, and his righteousness remains, his righteousness endures forever. Why? Because he's giving of himself. He's laying his life down. This person's walking in the ways of the Lord. Verse 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. The upright. What makes this person upright? He's walking in the ways of the Lord. He's set his love upon the Father. So light is arising in the darkness. It doesn't mean when it gets dark outside that you're going to walk outside and the light's going to follow you around. Well, spiritually, that happens. But in the natural, you're not going to really see a light just because Nate's standing there. But there's going to be a light. There is a light there with Nate. They're talking about the darkness of this world around us, the evil that's around us. Light is arising in darkness, like this person walking through the valley of the shadow of death in Psalm 23. We already talked about that.
You read that last week in Isaiah 60.
Yeah, exactly. Unto the upright there rises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. This is what this person is walking in the ways of the Lord. He's a gracious person. He's kind. And he's full of compassion. He has compassion to other people's issues and problems. And he's right with God. Verse 5, a good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. God considers him a good man, so his dealings are always gracious, and he lends.
That's where the prosperity comes in.
That's where the prosperity comes in. And the word says to lend, expecting nothing in return in the Beatitudes. Doesn't it say that?
Uh-huh.
To lend, expecting nothing in return. In other words, and actually, the word also says to lend without usury. Attaching interest on it, yeah. You know. So this good man deals graciously and lends, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. Verse 6, surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. So this person is steadfast. He's established. Verse 7, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Verse 9, he has dispersed abroad, or this is a giver. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. Verse 10, the wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So this person, the wicked people, or those that are ungodly, those that don't know the Lord, those that are not walking right, those that are carnally minded, will look at this person and they'll be grieved. Why does he get all these favors? Why does all the good stuff happen to him? What about me? That's gnashing with their teeth. It'll make them mad because this person's prospering. Well, they can prosper too. There's nothing keeping them from prospering but themselves. They're looking at the money and at the blessing. Well, this person that's blessed is looking at the blesser, not the blessing.
I remember Kenneth Copeland, or Gloria said, or no, it was Billy Grimm. She said everybody kind of gets put out with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland over the prosperity deal. But she said, nobody knew them back in the days when they had to boil potatoes in a coffee pot.
Yeah.
Because that's all they had.
They set their stuff outside because they didn't have a refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, they were in bad
shape. In the middle
of
town.
But they got a hold of this. Actually, what happened is Glory was reading every day the law of the Bible and barely making it. And she said, well, he cares about the sparrow when he falls. Well, surely he cares for me. So it started dawning on her about the love of God and about how much God loves them. And they started doing what they could do. And they started moving out of it.
Well, I was teaching a class at the old Victory Church, and I don't remember bringing this up, but there was a person in the group there that objected. And she said, don't give me that prosperity message. She said, my son has done everything they're supposed to do. And he's deeper in debt than he ever was. And he's blah, 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 blah. And before I said anything, another lady spoke up and said to the lady, she said, it takes work. It takes work. It takes faith. It takes living by the word and being a forgiving person and not holding offenses and stuff. And she said, I know, she knew the guy, I guess. And she said, he's not doing the work that it takes to do this, to become prosperous. And I mean, I just let them talk.
Yeah.
I stayed out of it.
But the Word tells us how. It tells us why. It's all based on love. It's all based on the laid down life. And what is God telling us to do in our own life? What do I have in my hands that I can bless someone else with? Especially, like Nate's so good at doing, his time.
Mm-hmm.
That is so valuable. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 1, because it's another picture of this person that is a picture of a person that's walking in the ways of the Lord versus a person that is not. And I love Psalm 1. Again, it starts out with blessed. I'm using the Amplified here. I was using the New King James before, but I like the way the Amplified puts it here. Psalm 1, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, enviable is the man who walks and lives not. So he doesn't do this. Lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path of the sinner, where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and mockers gather. I heard a minister talk about this one time, and I had read that I don't know how many thousands of times and never noticed it. But he said, look at the progression here. The first one, blessed, happy, fortunate to be, and prosperous and enviable is the man who does not do these things. So this is the prosperous guy. So these people that are not prosperous are doing the opposite, okay?
Uh-huh.
And lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice. And I think some says, yeah, following their advice, their plans and purposes. So this guy is walking, who walks not, most of them say, who walks not, okay, in the counsel of the ungodly. So this person, the first one, is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's getting his information from people that are not godly. His advice, he's following people that are not godly, but he's walking. Notice the next one, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. So now the sinners are walking, but what's he doing? He's standing. He's standing in the path where sinners walk. So he stopped. Before he was walking in the council. Now he's stopped and he's standing. He's standing inactive in the path where sinners walk. The next one is, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful are. So notice the progression. First, he's walking, counsel the ungodly. Second, he's standing in the path where sinners walk. And then the same person, then he sits down. So he takes up residence. So that's the progression that we all have in our life. We will notice the wrong things around us. We'll start compromising in our life as we walk. We'll start moving away from the Word and to the counsel of the world. We'll move from being spiritually minded to carnally minded. And it's a gradual thing, but we think there's more wisdom with the ungodly. After all, maybe he can give me something here. I'm not getting anything from the Word because he's not in the Word, mainly. But he wants some advice, so he gets it from the ungodly. So he's walking right there. And now things around him are changing. He's progressed. He's went downhill. Now he's standing in the way of sinners. So he stopped. He stopped. He's no longer moving. He stopped. And then he sits in the place of the scornful. Notice you get some ungodly information, and then you start standing and taking up residence, and then you stop completely. Now you're hooked. That's the progression. I never saw that progression before, even though I read it time and time again. But blessed is the, and happy, fortunate, prosperous, to be envied is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and mockers gather. Verse 2. But, so he's not doing that. This is what this guy does instead. Mm-hmm. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, or in the Word. Mm-hmm. And on his law, or the Word, the precepts, instructions, and teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. So instead of standing there getting all that advice and that stuff from the ungodly and sitting and being scornful and walking where sinners are, well, this guy's meditating in the Word. What he's doing is he's channeling his life in the Word way. He's walking in the ways of the Lord. He has an established heart. He's spiritually minded. Hallelujah. And what happens because of that? Because he's that way. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree, firmly planted and tended by the streams of waters, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaves also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. This is the guy that's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not standing in the path of sinners, and he's not sitting in the place of the scornful. So he's prosperous. This is prosperity. This man is blessed. And he shall be like a tree. This person be like a tree. Their roots go way down, and no matter what happens, they're steady. They're strong. They're still going to be watered when there's drought around them. And tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in this season. Its leaf shall not fade or wither. So no matter what happens to this guy, he's not going to fade or wither. He's strong. And everything he does shall prosper. How would you like for everything that you do to prosper?
Amen.
This guy, whatever he does, will prosper because he's got his way locked in the Lord. He's walking in the ways of the Lord. What he does will be in obedience to the Lord. And because they're in obedience to the Lord, those things will prosper. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Not so with the wicked. So this person that is standing in the standing and walking and standing and sitting in the way of the sinners and the scornful. That's the wicked. Not so the wicked. Those disobedient and living without God are not so. But they are like the chaff, worthless, dead, without substance, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked, those disobedient and living without God, shall not stand justified in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God. It's going to be obvious that they are not doing this. Mother, go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah had something to say about this, or God said through Jeremiah, an Amplified Classic. Jeremiah chapter 17, 5 through 8.
Thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man, making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub, or a person naked and destitute in the desert, and he shall not see any good come, but shall dwell in the parched places in the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green, it shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit.
Glory to God. See the comparison between the two. Those who are walking in the ways of the Lord, have an established heart, being spiritually minded, are verse 7 and 8. And similar to Psalm 91, Psalm 1. So it's important that we recognize our ways and God's ways. Mm-hmm. It's important. Otherwise, we qualify for the other one. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to live in a salt land, do you?
Thank you.
All I got for a commodity is salt. And then while I like to put salt and eggs and things, I don't want to live there.
Or be a pillar of one.
No doubt.
It's not a good place to live. And verse 6, the Psalm 1, verse 6, for the Lord knows and is fully acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, those living outside of God's will, shall perish and in ruin and come to naught or nothing. There's a big difference between those who are carnally minded and those who are spiritually minded. Again, like we mentioned last week, we can be spiritually minded now and in the next moment be carnally minded. But our goal is to walk spiritually minded. When we find ourselves carnally minded or worldly minded or anti-God minded, we can repent and change that and get right back over to being spiritually minded. But the person that has no desire to walk with God, he's never in the Word, doesn't want to walk that way, he wants to stay in the world, born again or not, he wants to live the same way he always did, he's going to be carnally minded and he's going to wither. That's why the Word says in Romans 8 that those who are carnally minded, it's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart, or who is spiritually minded, is a person who will love his enemies. Now we're going to look at Luke 6. Jesus talks about this. It's also in Matthew, but I'm going to use Luke in the Amplified Classic. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you... Now, he was saying, you say this, but I say. Now, who's going to win in that one? Jesus is going to win that, isn't he? He's correcting them. But I say to you who are listening to me now, in order to heed, make it a practice. Love your enemies. Treat well. Do good to. Act nobly toward those who detest you and pursue you with hatred. Now, he's given them a big order. But that order's to us too. Invoke blessings upon and pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Implore God's blessing, favor upon those who abuse you, who revile, reproach, disparage, and high-handedly misuse you. Now, that is not our normal response to that, is it? I don't think that's our normal response. And we can make all kinds of excuses for the way we respond. Mm-hmm. But according to that, they don't hold water. Mm-hmm. But I say to you who are listening now to me, in order to heed, make it a practice. This is supposed to be a lifestyle. Make it a practice. Love your enemies. Treat well. Do good to. Act nobly toward those who detest you and pursue you with hatred. Invoke blessing upon and pray for the happiness of those who curse you. That's normally not what we say. Implore God's blessing, favor upon those who abuse you, who revile, reproach, disparage, and high-handedly misuse you. To the one who strikes you on the jaw or cheek, offer the other jaw or cheek also. And from him who takes away your outer garment, do not withhold your undergarment as well. I mean, Nate, what do you think about that?
Well, just something that caught me on that is, read the very first part of that again in your translation.
Okay. Verse 27. But I say to you who are listening now to me, in order to heed, make it
right
a practice.
For those of you that listen to me,
That's
in order to heed,
yes,
with the intention to follow.
Right, exactly, Nate. That's good. That's exactly what he's saying. He who has ears to hear,
let him hear.
Verse 29. To the one who strikes you on the jaw or cheek. Again, that's not the way we respond. We're ready to go. offer the other cheek also. You want this one? You got that one. You got to be even here. Take.
I've got that too.
Yeah. What's going to happen to that guy? You just made him even madder. Because he thinks you're making fun of him. But no. offer the other jaw or cheek also. And from him who takes away your outer garment, do not withhold your undergarment as well. In other words, you're standing there naked. But, hey, give me that. give me that back. That's not what happens. Hey, you want this too? You got to visualize these things sometimes to get the...
Well, sometimes maybe not so literally. Yes.
You get his point, don't you?
Yeah.
Verse 30. Give away to everyone who begs of you, who is in want of necessities. And of him who takes away from you your goods, do not require or demand them back again. Give away to everyone who begs of you, who is in want of necessities. Now that's one thing. The guy's in need. Give to him. But this next part here. And of him who takes away from you your goods, do not demand or require them back again. Now that's different. This guy's stealing. Verse 31. And as you would like and desire that men would do to you, do exactly so to them. 32. If you merely love those who love you. So since he brings in love here, in verse 32, what do you think he's been talking about? He's been talking about the love walk. He's been talking about the way that this person is to walk, that is walking in the ways of the Lord, that has an established heart, that is spiritually minded. He's talking about being spiritually minded. He's telling the people, this is the love walk. This is the way you walk. If you merely love those who love you, what quality of credit and thanks is that to you? For even the very sinners love their lovers, those who love them. And if you are kind and good and do favors and benefit those who are kind and good and do favors to and benefit you, what quality of credit and thanks is that to you? For even the preeminently sinners do the same. So you haven't done anything that the world hasn't don't do. If you're good to those who are good to you. He's saying be different. 34. And if you lend money at interest to those from whom you hope to receive, what quality of credit and thanks is that to you? Even notorious sinners lend money at interest to sinners, so as to recover as much again. That's why the word in the law says to lend, expecting nothing in return. 35. But love your enemies, and be kind and do good, doing favors so that someone derives benefit from them. And lend, expecting and hoping for nothing in return, but considering nothing as lost, and despairing of no one. And then your recompense, your reward, will be great, rich, strong, intense, and abundant. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind and charitable and good to the ungrateful and the selfish and wicked. So be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, compassionate, even as your Father is all these. Glory to God. I mean, that's a whole new way of living. Jesus had a way of putting things. Okay, get on or get off. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. If you want to prosper.
Put up or shut up.
Look at the benefit. I'll read that benefit one more time. And then we'll close. But love your enemies, be kind and do good, do favors so that someone derives benefit from it. And lend, expecting and hoping for nothing in return, but considering nothing as lost and despairing of no one. And then, when you do these things, and then your recompense. So you can get it by usury. You can charge them, demand it back, and be mad and upset because they didn't bring it back.
But that's the counsel of the ungodly.
That's the counsel of the ungodly. You can do that. Or you can get God to recompense you. Mm-hmm. And then your recompense, your reward will be great, rich, strong, intense, and abundant. Mm-hmm. I like that better. Go ahead and keep it. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind and charitable and good to the ungrateful and the selfish and the wicked. It's a good thing that He is. Mm-hmm. Or what would this world be like? So be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate, even as your Father is all these things. You say, well, you're a wimp to do all of that. No, you're not. You're the strongest person around. You cannot outdo God.
Amen.
And there's nothing stronger than love.
That's right.
And if we want to walk the ways of the Lord, that's it. You know? Well, Father, we thank You for this word tonight. It's a strong word, Father, and we receive it. I'm so thankful that You quickened me to go ahead and include these tonight. I thank You so much, Father. It's a rich word, and I thank You, Lord, that as we go through our future years yet to come, that You will impact us with these, that You'll be able to draw these principles and keys up in our life by Your Spirit, just as we need them, Lord. Thank You, Father, for loving us, for caring for us, and taking care of these things, because without this word, without Your word, we would be lost. We would be just like everyone else, and really worse, because we say we're Christian. Lord, we're thankful for this word that brings life. Thankful You for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.